Okay, 374 at the bottom, Tzadik Ches on the top. We're middle of Perek Ches. Eight lines in the bottom. Okay. 195 in the Hebrew. What?
Okay.
Okay. Now, last week we learned as follows. That after a person comes to the realization of what terrible things they did with sinning, and they said they separated themselves from Hashem, and they took Hashem and put him into dirt, and they lowered their neshama, and they did terrible things to everything. When you understand the crime, then you can understand the severity of the crime, and then you're able to really realize how terrible the crime was, and therefore you're really able to ask tshuva. And he says, when a person deals with the depth of their heart, because tshuva basically is the depth of the heart, when a person comes in the depth of the heart and does tshuva, that awakens a level of alokus which is higher than the levels that you sin from. And we discussed last week, but Yom Kippur it says, Lifnei Hashem Tetaro, higher than the level of Yud Kei Vav Kei. We discussed the great length last week, because tshuva reaches a level of godliness which is above any level that sin touches. And therefore, if that relationship is not affected, and that's the relationship you awaken from Hashem, so then it erases all the blemishes. To give an example, they say one of the mashalim of Tekiah Shefer, I don't think I said this last week, one of the mashalim analogies of Shefer blowing is the analogy from the Talmid of the Baal Shem. They said, as a mashal of a prince that left the father's house for a long period of time, it got to a point he was hanging around such terrible people, he forgot the language of the palace, he forgot what the palace was all about, he forgot everything. And one day he realized that he fell so low that he decided he wants to come back. So he comes back to the palace, but he forgot the language of the palace. He forgot the language of his nation. So he's coming there, and he's talking a language that's completely foreign to the people of the palace, and they don't want to let him in. They don't know who he is. He's trying to tell them, I'm the prince, and I want to go home to my father. But they didn't understand this, so they threw him out. So what did the kid do? He went outside, he got around, and he went outside his father, the king's bedroom, and he started crying. What happened when he started crying? The father recognized the crying of his child, the voice of the child, and he right away realizes the prince, and he opened the door and brought him in, and so on and so forth. So it says, what's the mashal? And it's similar to what we're learning here. The mashal of Shefer is, we're Hashem's children, sometimes we go so far away during the year, far away from Elokus. And now we decide to come back, but we forgot God's language. So what do? We cry with the Shefer, and Hashem recognizes the voice. In other words, the level of tshuva reaches a level of the Father that you don't need the language. It's the voice that counts. And he said, when a person realizes the terrible aveda that they did by sinning, so then they're able to awaken Yud Gimel Midas Rachmim, the 13 attributes of mercy that forgive. So he says, so it is also by the godly soul down by a person. Then the aveda, just like in godliness, he says, we brought back God to where he belongs. The same thing. Down here we learned before, when a person does an Aveda, they have the separation like the clouds between us and Hashem. So when a person does tshuva, he gets rid of the Avedas that separate him from Hashem, and therefore because of the Naki that he cleans, that a Menaka hu l'shavim, that Hashem cleanses the repenters, lircheis v'linkeis nafshim, to wash and to clean their nefesh, milavushim atzeim, from the filthy impure garments of evil, Hachitzenim, like the Gemara says, Milafafase, it envelops him in it, the evil surrounds him completely. So what does tshuva do? It cleans the person. And once it cleans the person, doesn't have any more any separation between him and Hashem, because the blockage that he accomplished through sinning is now erased. And that's why it's interesting. There's a comment from the Rebbe over here. Mi'acha sheruach avra v'titoharim. When the wind, the tshuva wind, passes by and purifies them, then tuchol nafsham loshav ad Hashem baruch hu mamashi can return to Hashem. It's interesting. There's a note from the Rebbe. The Rebbe writes, just like the wind pushes away the clouds, the tshuva wind pushes away the separation that the Jew created, the clouds that the Jew created between them and Hashem. So that's why it's actually called the Ruach, that Alter Rebbe says, Ruach Avra, the wind passes. What wind passes? The tshuva wind is the wind that blows away the clouds, just like regular wind blows away the clouds and separates the sunlight from revealing itself on earth. So this is the whole concept of tshuva. And then the nefesh can elevate itself to a very lofty level, limkeira to its source, uladavka beyizbarich to cling to Hashem beyichud nifla with a tremendous unity. And it's interesting. In you always hear two expressions in Chassidus, hiskashus and dveikus. Many times you have the expression he's mekusher laKadosh Baruch Hu, hiskashus laKadosh Baruch Hu. And then you have the concept of ludovka, like it says, ludovka bait to cling to Hashem. What's the difference? The difference is really in the meaning of the word. His kashrus means kesher, which means a knot, tied. A Jew, when you tie two things together, they're two separate things. They're just connected. Dovka, the word devek, is glue. When you glue two things together, they become one. When you tie two things together, they're connected, but they're not one. They're two separate things. If you tie two tables and two chairs together, they don't become one chair. It's two separate chairs which are connected. Dovka is a much deeper level. Dovka means devek, you become glued to Hashem. Glued means you become one thing with the thing that you're glued to. It's a much deeper level of connection. So he says a person after tshuva can actually reach the level of ladavka bay. And here the Alter Rebbe is adding, not only are you connected like you were before, you're connected greater than you were before. And he said, what does this mean? You're connected to Hashem. The way you're united with Hashem, with the ultimate level of unity, before, so to speak, Hashem blew, the way the neshama was blown into Adam. Dr. Rebbe explained before, let me just explain this, and he said, this is tshuva shleima. That's the complete level of tshuva. We learned before, Hashem blew the neshama into Adam. Okay? He blows into every person. And then he says, when you do an Aveda, what do? You block that blowing air. So you lose the connection. Before you sin, though, Hashem blew into you the spark of the neshama. Here he says, through tshuva, you reach a connection with Hashem before he even blew that. When a person blows, before they blew, it's a much deeper connection with the blower than after he blew. Once he blew, it left you. Before you blow, it's still with you. He says, Hashem blew the neshama into the person, and then when you sin, you break that connection. You create clouds that stop the blowing. But when a person does tshuva, they reach a relationship with Hashem before Hashem even blew the neshama into the guf, meaning with Hashem himself. And that's why tshuva accomplishes a closer relationship with Hashem than if you didn't sin. And therefore, the Holy Ghost of tshuva, the Alter Rebbe is explaining that when a person, before they sin, has no right to sin. Because Hashem says no. But after the fact that a person sinned, why did Hashem want the person to sin? Because there's no question Hashem wanted the person to sin. Because if Hashem didn't want the person to sin, they wouldn't have sinned. So before they sinned, Hashem says, I don't want you to sin. Because that goes against the will of Hashem. But why, after the fact, did Hashem allow that a person sinned? So Chassidus explains, because Hashem wants that person who sinned to reach a level of connection with godliness through tshuva that you couldn't reach, you couldn't have reached if you didn't sin. And Alter Rebbe said, so why can't the guy say, I'll sin and do tshuva? He says, because then you're going to reach a lower level. Who said you're going to want to do tshuva? And secondly, the cause of the sin was because you were expecting to do tshuva. So tshuva helped you sin. Without tshuva, you wouldn't sin. Why are you sinning? Because I could do tshuva. So tshuva is helping you sin, so tshuva is not going to get you out of sin. So a person has to know that if they sinned, the reason why Hashem allowed them to sin, and for that matter, Hashem wanted them to sin, is to reach a level of tshuva, which causes a relationship with Hashem before Hashem blew, which is the only way you could reach it is through sinning. After the fact of sinning. And that's why Hashem made, throughout history, Hashem made Adam and Ishan sin with the Chatei Tadas. That's why Hashem made the Jews sin with the Egel. That's why Hashem made everything that happened, all the sins that happened in Jewish history, was all part of the plan that they should sin, because Hashem wanted them to reach a level of relationship with Hashem that they couldn't reach if they didn't sin. But that, again, only after the sin, not before the sin. Before the sin, you're not allowed to sin. In simple language, I grill it many times. If Reuven wants to kill Shimon, he's not allowed to kill him, because God didn't want Shimon to die. But if Reuven did kill Shimon, then Hashem wanted Shimon to die. And that's why he allowed it to happen. Because Hashem didn't want Shimon to die, he wouldn't have died. That doesn't mean, okay, let me try killing him. If he dies, that means Hashem wanted him to die. It's like a person could say, I mean, there are lunatics that say this. I'm going to run across the freeway. Because, listen, everything's destined. If Hashem wants me to die, I'll die. Anyway. And if he doesn't want me to die, then I won't die anyway. So let me just do it. Obviously, you can't do that. But after the fact, it's because Hashem wanted it to happen. But why did Hashem want it to happen? L'chayre, you separated yourself from Hashem completely. Because Hashem wants that you could do tshuva and reach a level that you would have never reached if you didn't sin. Which level? So the Rebbe explains over here, it's the level of godliness before he blew the neshama into Adam Rish, into the Jew, into every Jew. And then the spirit of Hashem's mouth and Hashem are the same thing. And Hashem is the same thing. Because it never left Hashem, so to speak. By Hashem, it never leaves him, but relatively speaking. It's similar to what the world says, the expression, before you talk, you control your words. After you talk, the words control you. The before you talk, the words and you are the same thing. They didn't leave you yet. Once you say the words, that's when they left you. And that's why a tshuva allows a person to reach a level of alukus that he couldn't reach. Why? Because normally a Jew can't reach higher than Yudkei Vavkei. A Jew doesn't reach... It's a lot of bugs, you know. Summertime. He can't reach a level higher than Yudkei Vavkei. Only through tshuva, by reaching into a deeper level of the neshama, can you reach a deeper level of elokus. And he said, "Vezui tshuva shleima." He says, "Vini b'chinis yichudze." This level of unity with Hashem, that you mamish become one thing with Hashem. The tshuva is on this level of tshuva, is b'chinis tshuva ilo, is the higher level of tshuva. Shalachet tshuva tato, that follows tshuva tato. In other words, the first thing you have to do is get God back to where He was, get your neshama back where it was. Then you reach a second level of tshuva, that you reach a level of oneness with God, which is greater than the level that you were before you sinned. Yeah.
What if someone killed a person? How do you do the tshuva for that?
Bring them back to life.
Yeah.
It says...
Then you go to the camera and then you have a priest to cover you.
Yeah, no. For everything a person shaykh to do tshuva. No matter what the crime is.
Really?
A person could do tshuva for any... possible thing. Even those things that the Gemara says you can't do tshuva, we learned before that the Rebbe brought down what it says in Reishis Chochma, that the Zayah says that there's certain things you can't do tshuva on. So that in Perek Dal, the Rebbe quoted what it says in Reishis Chochma, that what the Zayah says you can't do tshuva means a lower level of tshuva. But a higher level of tshuva, the Gemara says, "Ein lach davar she'ein b'bifnei tshuva." There's nothing that stands in the way of tshuva, no matter what the crime is.
Well, what is low and what's higher? Like, what is that?
Sometimes you need a deeper level of tshuva. Here he's not talking about that. I'm saying b'chlal. Certain avedis, you need a deeper level of tshuva. Certain avedis, you don't need such a deep level of tshuva. The worst the crime is, especially when it came into a gashmistika thing. For instance, if somebody committed adultery and gave birth to a mamzer, okay, so there's a living mamzer out there, right? So it says that there are levels of tshuva that can even undo that.
What does one do that's considered a high level versus a low level?
That's between them and God.
Is suffering tshuva another person?
Suffering is not tshuva. Tshuva is repentance and regret of what the person did. Suffering is a cleansing process that God gives a person, but that's not tshuva. Tshuva is feeling sorry for what you did. There isn't a... In fact, it says, there's the famous Tana, the Meir's teacher, Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, okay, who was a scholar, and then he turned off and he became very far away from Yiddishkeit. So the Meir was trying to get him to do tshuva. So it says that a voice came out from heaven, says everybody could do tshuva except Acher. A voice came out from heaven, said everybody could do tshuva except Acher. So Acher said, if that's the case, forget it. So Chassidus explains that Acher was wrong. Because even when he heard a voice from heaven that said Acher can't do tshuva, he should have still done tshuva because it would still been accepted. Even when Hashem says tshuva doesn't help, so this explains you can still do tshuva. Because the tshuva reaches a level higher than that voice that said you can't do tshuva. So no matter what the crime is, there's no such thing you can't do tshuva. Sometimes it's a harder tshuva, it's a deeper tshuva, it's a longer tshuva, whatever it may be. But it works. The Dalet Rebbe said before the expression, dochak v'nichnes. If you pushed your way in and you entered, nothing stands in the way of tshuva.
Does that mean you give more tzedakah? You give more kabbalah?
Tshuva is not tzedakah. We learned before, tzedakah is post tshuva, like a carbon that they used to bring to create. Tshuva is the regret of the person's action that they did and how sorry they feel of the crime that they did. I give you an example. I told this story once. It happened, I heard it from one of the guys here in the city. That I think it was his grandfather, was a traveling salesman in the Midwest. And he used to travel, you know, from farm in the olden times, from farm to farm, you know, selling stuff. And some guy's farm burned down. And all the neighbors were there and said, "Oh, we're so sorry. So this Yiddle came, he says, "Okay." In those days, there's a lot of money, but he says, Okay, I'm $10, sorry, and he pulled out $10 from his pocket to give the guy to help him rebuild. And everybody else, I'm so sorry. You know, how sorry are you? You know, people hear tragic news, I'm so sorry. Meanwhile, they go home and they sleep and they eat and they have no problems. And how sorry are they? You know what I mean? A person can do it in Aveda and be sorry. The question is, how sorry you are? Listen, whoever has kids knows. Your kids do something wrong, they come along and they say, I'm sorry. Oh, they're really sorry. Nebuch. I mean, they're really, really sorry. Or like when we do things, we say, I'm sorry. Come on. Who's it, sorry? What are you sorry? You say, I'm sorry, even if you're a little honest, and you mean it. How much do you mean it already? 2%? 1%? So that's the different levels of tshuva. How sorry is the person for what they did? And the resolution of how much they're really not going to do it again. We mentioned this many times. A frum yid comes to Shon Yom Kippur, they daven and they mean it, you know, and they even cry a little bit, whatever. They mean it. Okay. Let me ask you a question. How many people do you know that became completely different people after Yom Kippur? I don't know of any. Okay? After Yom Kippur, everybody's the same person they were before Yom Kippur. So the question is, but they stitch on Yom Kippur. Okay, some people wait a day or two to start going back to normal. But by 3 days later, come on. So everybody's back to normal. The question is, they weren't sorry on Yom Kippur? They were sorry. There's no question they were sorry. But how sorry were they? If they were very, very, very sorry that it touched their core, that they were sorry, then they could not do it again. So sometimes, based on the crime, is the level of tshuva that somebody needs to do. But if a person is really sorry, not what we say really sorry, what Taita says is really sorry, then the tshuva is accepted, no matter what the crime is. Even when Chassidus says, tshuva doesn't help, God says tshuva helps anyway. And therefore, there's the famous Yerushalmi. They asked Torah, what do you do, should a person to sin? And they asked this, what that, what do you? They asked Shalach Kodesh Baruch Hu, they asked God, what should a sinner do? One answer was bring a korban, one of this. Hashem says, let him do tshuva and be forgiven. No matter what the level is, a person could do tshuva. For the worst crime, it's possible to do tshuva. Okay.